Now, on 77 WABC, it's time for the former mayor of New York City, America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani.
Good afternoon, America. This is Rudy Giuliani, live from Palm Beach, Florida, on 77 WABC, and thank you all for tuning in. Coming up, I get to speak with you on Chat with the Mayor. Call me on the Tunnel to Towers Foundation hotline at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T, dot org. So, quite a bit happening in New York City during this week between Christmas and New Year's. The offensive against New York restaurants continues, which I find completely baffling. The governor extended a great deal of help and assistance to tenants who are struggling to pay rent, and I think that that was a wise thing to do in these circumstances. I hope it's being done purely as a temporary matter, as a matter of emergency. I mean, this is kind of how rent control began way back in the 40s as an emergency, and basically came to just about ruin the New York residential real estate market. So right now, absolutely necessary, given the impact of COVID. Probably as necessary on the commercial side as it is on the individual residential side, since you consider all these stores, particularly the middle level, middle class, let's call them stores, where rent has to be paid and they're not allowed to do business by virtue of the dictatorial decrees of the governor and the mayor. So, as a Republican and as a conservative generally, I find interference in the free market in terms of rent to be a big mistake, even for the poor, because it deteriorates the market. I can see the reason for the exception here. However, having shown that kind of understanding, I don't understand the contradictory treatment of restaurants and why they are being singled out for punitive treatment. The Democrat Party, this would include, of course, our governor and our mayor, constantly are talking about follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Okay, I understand that. I also understand that they're being very, very simplistic, if not political, in that most of the times science is not definitive. Most of the time, believe it or not, even though it is science, some of it's debatable. What's the most effective medicine for a particular disease? What's the best way of navigating? What's the best way of dealing with a new structure and building it? Maybe there are three different engineering designs where three different engineers have different views, or on medicines, three different doctors have three different views about either the medicine, the efficacy of it, or what's more important at any given time. During this COVID thing, the word science has been used as if this was all set in heaven. And it was probably the worst time to do that, since we didn't know about this at all. Sometimes with something we're dealing with for 400 years, science is still not settled. Certainly something we're dealing with in the first day, second day, third month is not settled. But here is something that is science. You are far more likely to be infected with CCP virus in your home than you are in a restaurant. I'll repeat that. You're far more likely to be infected in your home with CCP virus than you are in a restaurant. Restaurants have actually what could be regarded as a good record in terms of CCP virus infection. And it also is logical as well as scientific, because in homes, we are necessarily closer together. It's hard to really remember social distancing in a home. And very often it's unnecessary because you're together anyway and people are exposed to it, and it's almost a risk you take in living with someone. I mean, I've never understood a husband and wife when they're all alone on the street wearing a mask and holding hands walking down the street when they're not near anybody, since they're living at home and sleeping in the same bed every night. But in any event, you know, wearing the mask, I guess, is a good example for other people. But from a scientific point of view, they have less of a chance of transmitting the virus to each other walking on the street, particularly if nobody else is on the street, than they do in their home, sitting in their living room, or in bed together at night. So why, if you're going to have dinner with five people tonight, just think of this. You have less of a chance of getting the COVID, right? The Chinese virus, CCP virus, in a restaurant than you do at home. Indoors in a restaurant. And, of course, they have social distancing rules for the restaurant, whether it's 20% full, 25% full, 50% full. Every restaurant I've been in since this happened, which would be in the United States, and it would be mostly in New York or Washington, D.C., the social distancing has been honored rather strictly. The tables are much further apart than they used to be. The waiters and waitresses are all wearing masks. They are all wearing gloves. You are required to wear your mask as you walk about in the restaurant. And if not, you're reminded to do it, and they have masks there for you. And the only time you're not is when you're eating. And there you're socially distanced from most people, and pretty socially distanced even from the people that you're with. And those are people that you're just as likely to get it when you're sitting in a car with them, walking home with them, or maybe living in the same home with them. Okay, that's a long explanation for you're discriminating against restaurants. Why? Why? These are good people. These are people that are trying very hard to survive and still respect the rights of other people. It's similar to what you're doing with churches. You're finally getting caught on. You know, no church, but you can go to a strip club. Or churches can only be 20% full, but a business can be 50% full. What's the difference between the two things? The churches have never asked to be treated completely differently. They might actually be able to ask that, since there's a constitutional right that protects them, called the free exercise of religion. But they've always asked just to be treated the way other essential businesses are treated, or even businesses are treated. Some of them are not even asking for essential business treatment. So I'm saying these things because we've now been living with this for almost a year. We have to be more sensible now than we were when society was somewhat panicked about it and didn't understand it. It is not that CCP virus is cured. It's not. It's not that it isn't dangerous. It is. But there are two things that have to be taken into consideration so we don't ruin our economy, particularly in the Democratic cities and states, which are, in some cases, crashing, whereas the others are doing very well by being sensible. So restaurants should be treated the same way as we treat other businesses. They shouldn't be closed completely. There is a way to reach a common medium here in terms of social distancing and hygiene, and to be enforced considerably better than you can do it in a home. So that should change, because we really are ruining people's lives. And if you're sensitive about that not being able to pay rent, well, you should be sensitive about the fact that they're not making the money so they can pay any kind of rent, even reduced rent, and that children are suffering, women are suffering, men are suffering, the workers are suffering. Why isn't their suffering as important to you as the suffering of tenants, which should be important to you? And second, whether you believe in God or you don't, as an American, you have to respect the primacy of freedom of religion. It's in the First Amendment. It's one of the first two or three guarantees of our Constitution. It's one of the reasons this country exists. And it's one of the things that's going to save us from socialism and communism. We have got to keep God in America. And we have to treat God, at least, as equal to business. And what you're doing to churches is not right. It hasn't been right from the beginning. I went along with the original lockdown. There was a part of me that hesitated, a part of me that felt bad that people did it with so little objection. I sort of had this image of the sheep being led to the you-know-what, particularly on protesting somewhat more, closing down Palm Sunday, Easter, and the High Holy Day services. These are really important. And I don't want to go into too much detail on this because I don't have the time. But take a look at by how much the addiction rate has gone up during the COVID lockdowns. Look at the suicide hotlines. Man, meaning men and women, need hope. And God represents hope. And many, many people, more than people think, need religion as part of their lives. It's an essential. It is not something less important than going to a strip club. Sorry. Coming up, I get to speak with you on Chat with the Mayor. Call me on the Tunnels to Towers Foundation hotline at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. That's 1-800-848-9222. To hear me discuss the fight for election integrity and many of these other issues, listen to my podcast. Visit rudyscommonsense.com or my YouTube channel to watch the current podcast, which deals with the options left open with regard to the election. And I believe new one tomorrow will deal with a review of 2002, which you tell me, and we'll discuss this during the week, do you think this was the worst year, at least within your lifetime? Those of you alive during the Second World War and the Depression might have contrary views. And possibly you could list 2001. So I discuss that on the podcast tomorrow, and we're going to discuss that during the show because I'd be interested in hearing your viewpoints on that. And to listen to us on Alexa, simply say, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you. Now, it's former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Well, back again, and we're going to go to, very shortly, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation hotline, which you can call at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And we will go to Staten Island for Josh.
Hello, Mayor. You are the greatest mayor, and I'm so jealous of you that you get to spend time around the greatest president ever. But I think the most important evidence...
Well, you should be. But he's a great man.
Yeah, I think the most important evidence that this election was stolen was that unlike any other presidential election, there were Democratic politicians that were involved in this fraud. And I think some politicians don't want to admit that this election was stolen, because they like the Washington establishment that President Trump was draining. And, you know, I'm a New Yorker, and I want to vote for a Republican mayor next year, like Curtis Sliwa. But I think it's so important because it might be our last chance because you have all those Republicans leaving New York City. But I'm wondering, do you think it's going to pay for me to vote?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Going to have a chance to vote, or the Democrats are going to steal this election in New York City. You think it pays for me to go out and vote next year?
Well, it always pays for you to vote because sometimes you can even overcome the stealing. I always felt that I had a certain number I had to overcome based on the way in which Democrats would pay people to vote 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times during the election. You know, all this idea that voter fraud doesn't take place is the biggest bunch of left-wing garbage. There's a lot of voter fraud that goes on at every election, particularly in big, corrupt Democratic cities. And this election, however, was off the charts. This was a concerted effort to make sure that a particular man didn't get reelected. And it was comprehensive. It was pervasive. And the Democrats who say that by saying that this was a stolen election, you're engaging in espionage or some kind of violation of the Constitution is an outrageous violation of the First Amendment. I mean, I don't just have an opinion that it was stolen. I have proof that it was stolen. And for me to say it wasn't stolen, I have to avoid an 8-hour tape of what they did in the Fulton County counting room when they closed it down and stole about 120,000 votes. That meant that they stole Georgia. I got the tape right here on my iPad. I play it for anyone who wants to accuse me of being, you're crazy when you say there was fraud. I say you are either lying or a victim of the kind of brainwashing propaganda can do when you say there's no fraud. I mean, it's really outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Well, I'm Rudy Giuliani with Common Sense. We'll uncover the truth and get to a solution on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Mayor Rudy Giuliani on
77 WABC.
Welcome back. This is Rudy Giuliani on WABC. You know, I wanted to note something that, of course, the censored media doesn't point out, among other indications of fraud. 205,000 new ballots were found in ballots were found that were illegitimate in Pennsylvania. So if the legislature of Pennsylvania abides by the Constitution and has integrity, they will now revise the document certifying the vote and add take 205,000 votes away from Joe Biden. And, you know what happens if you do that? Donald J. Trump wins Pennsylvania. Huh. What do you think the odds are they're going to do that? Think they got the courage to do it? I don't know, 672,777 votes that were cast surreptitiously, that were cast in secret, that were cast without the required inspection of Republican watchers, just at a time in which they were stuffing the ballot box to try to make up a 700,000 lead, which they made up with something like 538,000 votes for Biden and 3,258 votes for Trump. Trump got 0.02% out of that group of votes. There's no place in America, places that hated him, where he didn't receive at least 5% of the vote. That's clear evidence of cheating. Hundreds of thousands of stolen votes in Pennsylvania. Ignored. The courts wouldn't even listen to a hearing on it. Think so? You think we're complaining about something that didn't happen? Just look at the facts. Don't listen to the propaganda. So let's now go to Joe in Long Island.
Hi, Rudy.
Hi, Joe.
I just wanted to ask you, what is it going to take for Trump to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the Bidens? Can't you?
That's really interesting. I mean, I must say the president has to consider many things when he deals with a special prosecutor. Ideally and generally, that decision is made by the attorney general. Could
right.
the president
the
thing do
is, can it? Can he nominate
in a rare
you as
exercise?
Attorney general?
Pardon me?
Can he nominate you as attorney general?
No. Actually, he can't because there's not enough time to confirm me if, of course, they
right,
would
but
confirm
here's the
me.
Thing. Here's what I found out. If it's somebody within his cabinet.
Yes, but I'm not.
Not everybody needs Senate confirmation. So can he nominate you to a cabinet position and then
no.
transfer you to attorney general?
No. He can nominate as acting attorney general someone who's already been confirmed. So he could move over somebody within the Justice Department other than Mr.
Rosen. I mean, isn't there anybody who agrees that you need a special prosecutor to investigate the Bidens? Because the FBI who's investigating
I agree.
Yeah, that's going to be shut down if Biden gets in.
I have thought that for some time because I've been trying to get the FBI. I've been giving the FBI and the federal government criminal information about the Bidens for something like a year and a half or 2 years. Everything you are hearing now, I already know. Everything you're hearing now, I've already presented to the Justice Department. Everything you're hearing now, I've actually discussed on radio, television, and my own podcast. So it's really interesting when they have new revelations. Oh, Biden was involved with the Chinese. Gee, Rudy Giuliani mentioned that 6 months ago. But they never say that, by the way. So far, none of the networks have said, gee, Giuliani was telling us about this long before anybody else and way before it could have interfered with the election had it been investigated. And I was saying it then. You know, when I first brought it up in, I want to make sure I get the date right here, I believe it was March of 2019, and some people were saying, oh, it's to interfere with the campaign. I said, what campaign? Biden hasn't even announced yet, and this is the time to get it out of the way. You see, you don't get immunity for prior crimes just because you're running for president. I mean, it is a good idea not to be opening investigations within 2 or 3 months of the elections. But it's ridiculous to say you're not going to investigate a year and a half before the election. In fact, all you're doing then, if it's true, is putting it off, then censoring it. And now we're finding out what crooks the Biden family are really. And there's a lot more to find out. I mean, we're only, trust me, at the tip of the iceberg here with the Bidens. There are other Bidens involved in criminality, and it goes right to the very top, Joe Biden. In fact, that evidence is already out there. When it reemerges, everybody will act shocked. Let me remind you, there is a text by Hunter Biden to his daughter that says that for 30 years, he's been taking care of the family finances, and he's required to kick back half of what he gets to Pop. What does that sound like? I know what it is. Joe's a bag man. Joe's a holder. He's a subsidiary. The top of the family is the big guy, Joe Biden. 30 years of criminality. Ignored until now. Jeff, Brooklyn.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. And before my question, God, Trump, and you are still loved in Brooklyn.
Well, we don't belong in that category. Even Trump doesn't belong in that category, although he's been our best president.
Anyway, to my question, please. In 2018, the president signed an executive order against interference by foreigners or any Americans giving aid or comfort in an election. Has anything been relevant for the present fraud and crime and the swing state vote changing and so forth, going after anybody, affecting in any way the outcome of the election, or going after people responsible who are involved with Chinese, Venezuelans, European Canadians, or giving aid and comfort that's a part of the fraud process that's going on?
It's a difficult question for me to answer, Jeff, because I have to separate there what I know confidentially and what I know that's subject to public disclosure, and also what I know that's been established as a matter of fact and the leads and other things that we're looking at. Right now, there's no definitive piece of evidence that I can provide to you that there was foreign interference in the election. Do I rule that out? No. And are there leads or suggestions of things that have to be followed up? The answer to that would be yes. But you can't put any stock in it yet until they're run down. And I try to be as responsible about this as possible. You really don't need it. You really don't need it. You've got 5 states in which there's enough fraud proven on the record, in the record of the legislatures, where it's clear that Trump won those states, not Biden. It is painfully clear that Trump won Wisconsin. In fact, It's so the only question is the right remedy, discounting the ballots. And the law of Wisconsin says that it is. But the court in Wisconsin said either that's maybe too onerous, even though the law says it is, or the fourth judge, the deciding judge, came up with this crazy notion of latches, that the case was brought too late. 2 weeks after the election, turns out to be too late. He thought the case should have been brought before the election. Well, cases brought before the election were thrown out for being premature. So Wisconsin is a state in which the votes are provably there that Trump won more votes than Biden. You can do the same thing in Georgia. You can do the same thing in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona. I believe you can do it in Nevada, but Nevada's a Democrat state. Chances of a legislature changing it are pretty small. But the evidence is very, 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 very strong. Daniel in New Jersey.
Yes, Rudy. I'm the one that got rid of the judge's pension.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, I have to leave my number or something. But you spoke about the – I have a question for the president, too. You spoke about the election in Georgia and saying that some of the accused would have a Fifth Amendment right. I don't know Georgia law, but I do know Pennsylvania law. And under the Pennsylvania statute, if someone's accused of tampering with machines or whatever, they don't have their Fifth Amendment right.
Well, you mean they don't have their Fifth Amendment right in terms of being fired? They always have their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination.
No, if they did something criminal, with the elections are so important, the way the wording is that they have to speak about
That's
what
wrong.
They did
I
got in the election.
Peter, I hate to disagree with you, but there is no exception to the Fifth Amendment. You have a right and a protection against self-incrimination. If that were the law in Pennsylvania, it'd be unconstitutional. Here's what I think you might be thinking about. A public employee, if he takes the Fifth Amendment about something that relates to their job responsibilities, can be fired, but not prosecuted based on that, just fired. But the evidence can't be used against him.
That's not the way I read the election
law. But there's never an exception to your right. You always have your right of self-incrimination. So let's go to Peter in Long Island City.
Mr. Mayor, the reason they're shutting down the restaurants, most of them are owned by middle class people. The reason they have to shut down the courts and there's no eviction, because if you have a two family or a second home or a three family and you got no income now, you're going to lose your home. You're going to lose your property. They have to get rid of the middle class in America. That's how Venezuela works. China, no properties allowed. And that's what it is.
So you think this is a concerted effort to contract the classes so we become a socialist country?
And you know who's next after the middle class is gone? The lawyers. They're not going to have any clients. You're not going to need any lawyers. There's no eviction. Nobody's suing anybody. Businesses are closed. Restaurants are closed. The lawyers are next. That's a little message to the legal profession out there.
But so how do you see this? Who's guiding this?
This is China. This is Soros. This is Bloomberg. This is Gates. They have to collapse the system and bring it back and recreate it in the communist socialist fashion. And I was born in Romania. I'm lucky that I'm in this country. I know all about it. I've been back to Romania many times. I've been to many countries many times. And this is socialism, communism. That's the way it works. You can't hire a lawyer in Romania. You can't hire a lawyer in Venezuela.
Even now, do you consider Romania now to still be a socialist country? I thought it had changed.
It changed, but it's still not good.
In other words, it's changed, but it still has some of the socialist vestiges.
Biden gave his son some money from Romania with the oil money, too.
Oh, but that was corrupt. Just chicken feed compared to the billions from China.
Yeah, well, of course. Of course. But I'm just saying. And I called you yesterday. I was the last caller. And you told me to call back today.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad you did. Call. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate you taking my call. But it's no longer the proof. It's no longer anything like that. It's who's going to start arresting the people who are breaking the laws. This is the problem now. We have a president. He's not giving up. We know that. Look what he's been doing for the last 4 years. Anything that they tried against his two sons, the daughter, him, it backfired. And this is going to backfire, too. I got my money in on you.
Oh, well, also pray a little. But we're still in there. People don't know it, but we're still in there. And thank you so much for calling back, Peter. I really appreciate it for your hanging in there and calling back. Anytime you want to call, you're free to. You're a very intelligent man. Thank you for your calls on the Tunnel the Tower Foundation hotline. Help Tunnel the Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. That's 1-800-848-9222. I'm Rudy Giuliani. And with common sense, we'll uncover the truth and get to a solution on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
We are New York, talking about what matters to you. Now, it's former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani on New York's Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Welcome back to 77 WABC. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and particularly subscribe to my podcast at rudyscommonsense.com. That podcast, the one on right now, deals with the options that are open, still remain open with regard to the election. And the one tomorrow is going to review some of the high points and considerably more low points of 2020. And I'm also going to ask you guys to prepare for Thursday and Friday, because Thursday and Friday during the call-in, I'd like you, among other things, to locate for me what you think of 2020. What do you think was the worst thing, the best thing, and was it the worst year of your life or not? Just a quick answer to that. I just sort of taken a survey. So I'll remind you again tomorrow, but start thinking about Thursday and Friday, the last two shows of the year, with regard to that, whether we're looking at worst year, best year. So, Jim from Long Island, let's see. Quick.
Mr. Mayor,
question.
How are you?
Yeah.
Thanks for your lifetime service and your drive to never quit.
Well, thank you. That's very nice. Thank you.
I have a question for you regarding why Mitch McConnell is telling Senate Republicans not to interfere on January 6th and why the president doesn't go and write an executive order to get the Dominion machines if he has that power.
He doesn't really have that power, just to have an executive order to do it. I question why the FBI hasn't seized them all, but I question a lot about the FBI. I have no idea why they ever kept the Biden hard drive for a year and didn't listen to it, didn't listen to Joe, listen to Hunter Biden say that he's been collecting money for his father for 30 years and giving him half of it, didn't see that the hard drive completely supported President Trump's version of what happened in the Ukraine and contradicted the Democratic version, completely supported the fact that Joe Biden was lying and knew about his son's involvement in Ukraine and the vast amount of money he was getting there, which really wasn't for his son, but was for him, Joe Biden. I have no idea why the FBI didn't investigate the numerous connections of the Biden family with communist China, both during the time that Biden was vice president and his family was enriching themselves in China, and thereafter when Joe became a partner himself. These are the reasons we have the FBI. And these were things that could have been investigated well before Joe Biden was a candidate for president. I don't know what has happened to my country. I don't know what's happened to the FBI. but it's very, very discouraging. But I don't want to leave on a discouraging note. I don't want to leave on a discouraging note because we're coming to the end of the year. And I know that the American people can revive this country, can reform this country, can get this country back to a country where the laws are equal, where Republicans are not treated differently than Democrats, where you're told that you can't say something that others disagree with. It is a fair difference of opinion with regard to whether there was cheating in this election. People who say there is cheating in this election, who have that opinion, are, in my view, actually correct, but certainly as entitled to it as people who feel that there is not. It is not unpatriotic. In fact, it may be unpatriotic not to recognize the truth of what you can see with your own eyes. So don't be intimidated. Americans are never intimidated. We live in the greatest country on earth. Our rights come from God. God bless America. When you get up tomorrow morning, you know what you got to do, right? Kiss the ground and say, God bless America. Thank God I'm here.